finished last week with justification by works versus justification by grace, and we made some points to understand the difference about works. The way the Bible handles works, or what we do, and we made the point last week or finished up that by what we do, our works can never justify us before God. All men are going to sin. All men are fallible. We all depend on the grace of God. So our subject matter was justification by works versus justification by grace. And we finished up by making that point that our works are not works of merit when it comes to justification or salvation. This week, we're taking up a different work. We're taking up a study this week with faith versus faith only. Since man's works or what he does cannot justify him before God, we have to look at what man's works do, and it's faith versus faith only. Got to be careful with definitions of words. We've had many studies in definitions of words, and we see where the same word is used differently in different contexts. They're applied differently. And you have to be careful because man has a tendency to go find a word in one context or in one subject and in one meaning and try to apply that same definition or that same meaning across the board. Works is one of these words. We learned last week that man's works cannot justify him. He can't live well enough. He can't do anything that merits, makes him deserving of, earns him his salvation. That's totally by the grace of God, isn't it? But we can't take works and say that works has nothing to do with anything. We can't do that. Because God's Word clearly tells us that we have to have works. That is what perfects our faith. And without that, our faith is dead. Some words that we often see that done with: works, faith, Spirit. How many times have we talked about the Spirit in the context of the Holy Spirit? And we see that the word Spirit is used in many different contexts, in many different ways. Belief, music, any of these things. You have to look at the context that the word is in. We see error that will lead us into error if we allow the definition of a word to set the context of God's Word. God's Word, the context of it, will set the meaning of these words if we apply them correctly. Because God's Word, as we know, has there's no error in it. It harmonizes completely. And we have to look at these words in that context. We can't allow a definition of one word over here to go back over here and change something to something that God did not give us. What is faith? What is true faith? I think it's been debated for years. And looking at faith versus faith only, we see that even back into the 16th century. But if we look at God's Word when it comes to faith, like everything else that we look at, if we strictly keep God's Word, it's not that difficult. It's an easy subject to see, and at least to see what God's Word says on it. Problem is a lot of times we go into God's Word with a preconceived notion of something, and we got to be careful that we don't do that, that we let God's Word lead us to truth and not go into it with a preconceived notion. And faith is a perfect example of this. If you go into God's Word with this faith-only concept in your mind, applied not only to faith but a blanket application of it even to salvation, you will miss what God's Word truly says about faith and what it says that it really is. A verse that we used last week was Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. If you'll remember that, and we were making the point that man can't do works or can't live in a manner that would earn him his salvation. It says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone boast." This passage has three strong points we mentioned last week that it makes. Salvation is not by works that we do. That was the meritory works that we talked about. If that was the case, then we could brag that we earned our salvation. That's not the case. Number two, salvation is by grace, a gift of God. That's the second point that it makes. And number three, that man's part in his salvation is through faith. That's where our study picks up, faith. Salvation on man's part is by an obedient faith, not just faith only. I think that's why we put James 2, because James chapter 2 spends a lot of time on this exact point, making this point that this obedient works that man has to have in order for his faith to even be alive. So looking at James 2, verses 14 through 26, it says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked, destitute of daily food, and one of you says to him, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give him the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit, or what good does it do? Thus, also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which says Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." James makes some good points in this. What we need to keep in mind is last week we talked about scriptures and passages that contrasted grace versus work. When this is done, we emphasize those points that man can't be saved by works, he can only be saved by grace. But this passage that we read here is contrasting something completely different. It's contrasting faith versus faith alone without works. This contrast is not only stated here, but James even goes through points and examples to make sure and to make clear that we don't go to that misconception that justification comes without any works. He wants us to understand that this faith is going to produce works. That's the faith that's alive. That's the faith that's not dead. So looking into it from what we read, you ask yourself, can a man's faith without works save him? In other words, can you simply believe in Jesus Christ and that be enough to save you? He made the point with the needy brother in verse 16 there of someone who was in need and comes to you and asks. You recognize his need, you address his need, and you wish him well in his need, but you send him on without anything, without doing anything, without allowing that to produce a work in you, and it says that it profits nothing, or if it's of no use, it's of no consequence to simply know what your brother needs and wish it for him but not do anything. So obviously, it doesn't. And he quotes one of two times at least in just in these scriptures that we read, faith without works is dead, verse 17. Second question, can a person's faith be shown without works? And that's obvious again when he answers in verse 18 that he'll show his faith by his works. This faith will produce a work in you. You have to do something. I think the point that drives it really home or makes it so obvious is when he references the demons. Satan knows Christ. Satan knows God. These demons know Jesus Christ, and they trembled at just his presence or his thought of him. They had faith who he was. They believed he was Jesus Christ. They knew who he was. And you ask yourself the question, will they be saved? Are they saved simply because of their belief? And we can see there that's obviously not the case. They have an eternity that awaits them that God's very clear about, that they'll suffer after judgment. So the second time, in just what we read in verse 20, the point is made, faith without works is dead. That's twice James has said that in just those four verses or three or four verses. In verse 21, and you all may have sat down in your all studies and went through and picked out some different characters. I hope you did, and looked at some different people and what they did and their works, what was produced in them through their faith. I hope you did that, because God's Word is chock full from front to back about man's faith and his works that it produced in him. Abraham was one there that in verse 21. And it says there that he was justified by his faith. Abraham's faith was a faith that caused him to act. What a dead faith. It was a working faith. And it mentions in verse 22 there, and by works his faith was made perfect, made complete. Often those two words are used, together. Justified by faith, in verse 24 it mentions, by works it produced a work, and not simply by faith alone. Think about Rahab the harlot. It mentioned her there in verse 25. No doubt a sinful woman, engaged in sin. But she had a faith. And it was not her belief that Jesus Christ was who He was. It wasn't her belief that these Israelites were of God and backed by God, because she definitely believed that. She had no doubt in her mind that God was with them and that they were going to go through them like a wildfire. She had faith in that, but that's not what saved Rahab. What benefited Rahab was that faith that she had of the Israelites, of God, was one that produced this obedience to act, to help the spies, and to work. So it was a faith that was unto works, wasn't it? She received it by faith, but it wasn't just a working faith. A faith alone. It was a working faith. You can read about that in Joshua 2. That's just another example that I picked. Hebrews, we're handy to that anyway. Let's back up to Hebrews 11, verse 31, because it mentions her here. It says, by faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies with peace. These examples of faith are always qualified by the work that it produced in that person. So we see here that faith did save her, but it was the works that it produced that qualified her for that salvation. James finishes up there in verse 26 of chapter 2 by making the point that faith without works is like a body without its spirit, isn't it? For the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. I hope we can see that by taking works as it applies to meritory work and try to apply a blanket application or definition of that word through God's Word from front to back, we find ourselves in contrast. We find ourselves conflicting. And God's Word doesn't conflict itself. It harmonizes completely throughout. There are works. Just because our works can't save us doesn't mean obedience doesn't require works. It doesn't mean that we don't have to obey God's commandments when it comes to salvation. We all have to do that. We see that obedience is really the thought that is emphasized throughout this. This being saved by the grace of God, and we are, don't take away from our responsibility, our portion of the equation that we have to do to live our lives according to the law of God. It doesn't excuse us from that. Obedience is stressed. I think we'd all agree. We picked out just, two examples here? We could go from front to back and pick out examples, one after another after another. And I was hoping that's what some of your study took you to. But we can see that theme throughout God's Word, this theme of obedience that's emphasized. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 21 through 23, He makes this point that we often talk about today. He says, "Not everyone that says, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven." But He qualifies that and says, "Who does? But he that does the will of My Father in heaven." We're required to do. We are required works. Jesus was an example of that, even in and of Himself, through His obedience to His Father. Hebrews 5, 8 through 9 makes mention of that. Hebrews 5, 8 through 9 says, "Though He was a son, yet He learned obedience by the things which He suffered. And having been perfected, completed, He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him." There's an obedience that's attached to everything. There's a work that's attached to everything. Romans 6, 17 through 18. See here, Paul's writing to the Romans. He says, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves or servants of righteousness." They became workers. They became doers of this righteousness. And we can go on and on from front to back of how God's Word stresses this obedience, these works that man has to have. I know, and even in our invitations, and probably will again tonight, but we always make this point that man, when he decides to give his life to Christ, he has that faith and that belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we go through the steps of salvation that we're commanded to do, to achieve or to be added to the church, as God has instructed us to do. But we usually always make that point, like Luke 13:3, of this repentance, this change that has to take place. And really what we're saying are these works that we're involved in the world or as the world, when we give our souls to Jesus Christ, there has to be a change there. There's going to be works, but they're going to be different works. That has to happen. That has to change before we can be justified before God. Justification, obedience, and salvation hinges on our following God's Word. So the meaning of justification by faith, it means that we're not justified by our own works of merit. We're sinners. We're enslaved. We're in bondage to sin. As we made the point, we have no way to get rid. No one's perfect, and we have no way to get rid of that sin once we sin. We made the point, how much sin comes between us and God and makes us and stands between us and separates us? Just one, isn't it? Any sin at all separates us from God. He is so just, He's so righteous, and so perfect that anything comes between us and Him. And we don't have the benefits, and we cannot be obedient to Him. Positively, it means that man has something that he has to do. Being justified by faith, he has something that he must do in order to be saved by God. I didn't spend a lot of time. You can do this if you want to. I recommend you be careful when you go in and you start looking at authors and writers, because even some who identify themselves with the church are still man. They're still fallible. They're just like me, can make a mistake, can be wrong, can misstate something. So it's up to us. But if you do very much looking into that, J. Frank Norris was one who said, we are justified by faith plus nothing, minus nothing, by faith only. Making that point that we just refuted and talked about, that our simple belief saves us. We don't see that as an example in God's Word. We don't see that done in the conversion of Christians in God's Word. We don't see that anywhere, and we're certainly not commanded that. As a matter of fact, we're commanded just the opposite of that.
That you get through talking about in Hebrews 5, Mark, chapter or verse 9, rather,
yeah.
And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who believed him or obey.
Obedience requires works of us, don't it? I mean, if we're told to do or if we're told not to do, we have to obey. We have to do something. It's clear that works is required, and that's why James spent, the majority of that chapter. That's a good point, Paul. He lays that out. There's obedience. It has to have works. Faith simply by itself, like the demons, does us no good if it doesn't create a change, does it? Acts 2, verse 40. Said there Peter, and with many other works did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Salvation is by the grace of God, but it hinges on us to obey to save ourselves. We're told here in Peter in that first sermon, save yourself. Well, we don't have the ability to justify ourselves before God. Only through Christ can we do that. But by Him telling us to save ourselves, He's telling us unto obedience. Your works unto obedience. Obey God and save yourself. Because that is our portion of the equation. That's our part that we add to God's grace that results in salvation. Faith simply by itself is something of man, and it's a work on man's part in and of itself if you think about it. Without works, faith is going to produce. If you believe, then you have opened your eyes, I guess, to God. So having faith in and of itself is a work, really. Hebrews 11:6 to refute that thought that it's faith only without works. But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We see the faith mentioned here. It's impossible without it. We understand that. We believe that. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of who? Those who diligently seek Him. That requires us doing. That requires us working. It requires effort on our part.
Mark verse 7 says Noah was moved. The words moved to do something. Here we are. Basically hearing, but he was moved, and that's what faith does. It will move. Move us one way or the other.
That's a good point. That's I'm glad you brought that out. It moved him unto work. John 6:28-29. They said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him who sent me." He's saying here that the works of God, what is the works of God? And it's defining it here that the belief in and of itself is a work of God. It's not a meritorious work. This belief is not a meritorious work that earns us or makes us deserving of salvation in and of itself, but it's a necessary work in order to be saved, to move us to do, to result in obedience. Obedience of faith is works, but not meritorious works. I wrote a couple of scriptures down in Romans. I thought it was curious to me when you look at Romans. I would think, and I may be wrong, you all do your own study, that Romans is probably the book where more controversy in the religious world springs from. It's a tough book. You have to be on your toes, and you have to keep your context and everything straight in it. But I found it interesting that Romans begins in the first chapter and ends in the last chapter by making this point about obedience and this work that has to be done in order to be justified, in order to acquire this salvation. Look at Romans in the first chapter, verse 2. Verse 5. Romans 1:5. Through Him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. Brings out that point of obedience. There is something that we have to do. Flip over to the last chapter of Romans as Paul signs out and he wraps up his letter with them. In verse 26, he says, "But now made manifest," or revealed, or brought to light, "but now made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith." This faith is something that requires an obedience, something that we must do. Baptism. It's a work. It's something that we do. That baptism, that doing something, does not merit us salvation. But the grace of God that we acquire from our obedience to that does. We receive a lot of criticism if you talk to anybody very much at any length of time, and they'll always say, "Well, you believe that there's something special about that water that does this wonderful thing that saves a man, that there's something special about." No, water is water, and we have examples of people being baptized in all kinds of water. Water has nothing to do to it. It's the obedience of us to Christ's own commandment to do that, and it's where we contact the blood of Christ, is in our baptism. It's our obedience to what God tells us to do for salvation that we earn salvation. Not because our works are meritorious, but because our works are obedient. Mark 16:16, when Christ was giving His instructions there, we all know it. He that believeth and is baptized is going to be saved. That's clear to me. He that believeth and baptized shall be saved. I understand what that means. I understand I have to believe, and I understand that that belief or that faith is going to move me to do something or require me to do something in baptism, because Christ Himself said the ones who are going to be saved are the ones that believe and are baptized. We either believe that promise that He made or we don't. If we believe it, just as C.L. pointed out, as Abraham was moved, we will be moved. We will be more than willing to obey, to do what God has asked us to do. We're not going to have time, but if you want to mark your handouts there, I look forward to spending just a few moments when we do pick back up on all the examples that we have in God's Word about God testing man's faith. Think about that, because we're going to have a break here. Our meeting starts next Sunday, so we're going to take a break for a week here before we start back. But in these 2 weeks, or these days that we have till we come back together, think about the concept of God testing man's faith. Just think about that in general. Look at some examples, and we'll make some points on that when we come back after our break for our meeting. Any comments, questions? Thank you.